Fat Chance by Jenny McDade. Episode 5. Better Wed Than Dead.
It is now Slimming Club week 14. 3 months have passed. It's nearly Easter. When you'll remember, club member Jelly Kelly Chambers is due to marry her pen pal, a man she's not clapped eyes on before. As for me, Graham, my Blue Peter dreams remain unattained. Down, Shep, down. And what else is there to tell you? Oh, yeah. Bit of a new development, Shea Bottomley, is all I will say.
You're doing it again, aren't you, Clive?
What?
Standing peering out of that window.
What if I am, dear? Just wondering about Mr. Neighbourhood Watch over the road, that's all. Wondering why we haven't heard from him lately.
Well, perhaps like me, Clive, he's finally got himself a life of his own at last.
Time was. He was never off the phone.
Yes, I know.
And now, suddenly and mysteriously, silence. Perhaps he's up to something.
Of course he isn't.
I'll bet you anything he is. For one thing, he's never been one to dress up. That's a very smart suit he's got on today. All I'm saying is, makes you think, doesn't it, dear? When who knows what goes on, eh? Opposite?
In fact, the good news is, you're generally so engrossed in spying on him these days.
Definitely up to something.
That you barely notice my absence when I'm out at my slimming club.
What?
Meanwhile, nearly upon us, class, is Kelly's big day. And can I reassure our bride-to-be, who has lost a staggering 5.5 stone...
Oh.
Yes, thank you, class, that it is not unheard of.
What?
Lots of people, don't they, class, marry people they've not actually seen before the actual wedding day.
Oh. But suppose you don't like me after all once we're married.
Of course you will, Kelly. You may not have known each other for long. Your courtship may not have been conventional. But some of us marry people we've known years, only to find that...
What?
That perhaps we shouldn't have. Personally, I try not to think of my wedding that often, class. My overwhelming memories of my mother in floods of tears telling me I'd only live to regret it. Clive's cousin Neville warned me Clive could bore for England.
So why did you marry Mr. Bottomley then, Wendy?
Because she was in love, of course, Kelly.
No, that's the thing. I wasn't in love at all.
Oh.
But my sister was already married. I suppose I had the breeze up, 25th birthday looming. Didn't want to be left on the shelf.
No.
I'd already met Clive at YC's. That's where you went to meet suitable men, my mother told me in those days. Young conservatives. Clive was always last to buy his round at the pub afterwards. Best avoided he was, the other girl said. Anyway, I'd already set my cap at someone else.
Oh.
Maurice Delaware. To my mind, he was the best of the spotty, brill-creamed lot of them. But no matter how hard I giggled and flirted, he was never smitten with me. Then Maurice got engaged to someone called Denise, with an unfortunate nose but very well-heeled parents. I thought, oh, lummy, what do I do now? Of course, by this time, everyone else had paired off. So that just left Clive and me. So, eventually, I married a man whose idea of a fun evening is to listen to his recordings of assorted bird song. And still he wonders why, class, I needed to get a life of my own. See, the thing is, Clive...
What's he up to now?
Kelly will be on her own, on her big day.
And why is that?
Her parents are boycotting it because they think she's being foolish. And naturally, Kelly doesn't want her twin sister Kimberly there either.
Really?
In case her pen pal groom prefers her.
No, you've lost me, dear.
That was what started all the trouble. It was her twin sister's photo, wasn't it, that Kelly enclosed when she started this pen pal lark in the first place?
No, still not with you.
Anyway, Clive, that was why I suggested it would be a nice idea, like, if all of us, if the class, sort of rallied round and organised Kelly's special day.
And that's what everyone did. Wendy got Clive's cousin Neville, the Rev Nev, to marry the happy couple. The bride was shortly due to arrive in a car donated by Tony Tattersall Motors. As Wendy said to Clive in their pew,
"Better than arriving in one with a plastic toilet roll on its roof rack, eh, Clive?"
I don't know what you mean.
Tina Tattersall, of course, was there as well.
Oh, hello.
By now, almost unrecognisable from the bony sylph she'd been at the outset.
Look at me, Graham, eh?
Oh.
11 stone now and still climbing.
I said, "Forgive me for asking, Mrs. Tattersall, but are you really sure about this?"
"Oh, yeah." I say to Tony, "Just look at these love handles on me." He says to me, "And that lovely chubby bum." To be honest with you, Graham, Tony, Truffles and I, well, we've never been happier.
I said, "So I take it you won't be coming to class anymore," she said.
"Oh, just try and keep me away, Graham. I've got a special dispensation, you see." I said to Wendy, "I don't want to leave, Wend. I'd miss all my friends and our chinwags."
Yeah.
And she said, "We miss you too, Tina." So from now on, I'll probably be the only person in Britain attending a slimming club with the intention of piling even more pounds on.
Yeah, it was heartwarming to see how everyone had rallied round that day. Tina had even lent her recently replaced cleaning lady Mrs. Marigold gloves to clean out the church.
"I still don't understand why I had to be here."
"Really, Clive? I thought it would please you. I mean, you're the one always saying you want us to spend more time together."
"Yes, more time on our own. Like we used to. Not with the rest of your class." "Wendy."
"Yes, Clive."
"I can see a bloke in a dress."
"Yes, that'll be Graham. He's the bridesmaid."
"What? Graham?
You mean..."
"He's one of them, dear."
"Yes, Clive. We've decided to find it charming."
"But what's got into you? I mean, don't generally associate with, you know, strange people."
"Oh, I don't know. What about you and Mr. Neighbourhood Watch?"
"Well, what do you think of me, eh, Mummy?"
"Oh, tell me.
Am I not a symphony in peach?"
"You're a sight in peach, I'll give you that, Graham."
"Plus, look, little headdress of Lily of the Valley across my closely cropped hair."
"Why? For heaven's sake, tell me why."
"'Cause Wendy said we were to help Kelly all we could. Am I not right, Mummy?"
"Yes, but Graham..."
"And for obvious reasons, Kelly couldn't have her twin sister as bridesmaid. So I thought, faced with this dilemma, what would my favourite Blue Peter presenter, what would all giggles and fluffs Anthea Turner do?"
"Oh."
"Well, she'd be a trooper, our aunt, wouldn't she?" "Oh, yes." So straight away, I said to Blob the bride, "Worry not. Graham will find you the most unforgettable bridesmaid."
"Oh, but Graham, now everyone will know that you..."
"What?"
"That you..."
"What, Mummy?"
"Not as other men, Graham."
"Ah, you mean gay?"
"Oh, keep your voice down."
"Gay? Is that what you mean, Mummy?"
"Graham."
"What?"
"That's what you've done this for, isn't it?"
"No. Okay, possibly, yes. You see, Mummy, I just want you to accept me once and for all for the man that I am, rather than the man that you wish I were."
"Oh, Graham."
"Besides, I'm not the only bloke here in a dress."
"But the other one's Mr. Bottomley's cousin, the Rev Nev, and he's the minister."
"Oh, I know."
"Oh."
"So, Lee."
"So, Graham."
"Naturally, I didn't expect to see you here."
"In charge of the wedding photos, aren't I?"
"Oh, right."
"Remind me to take one of you in your dress. Smile." "By the way, Graham, who's the ugly old bloke down the front?"
"No idea, Lee. Best man. What do you reckon?"
I don't know.
You're surprised to see him here, eh, Clough?
Who?
Mr. Neighbourhood Watch.
What?
Of course, it was quite a bonus that day as well, to discover Mrs. Enright was musical, though her repertoire, she did say, was limited.
Just so long as she knows the wedding march. She does know the wedding march, doesn't she, dear?
Now, there can't have been many brides who arrive at the church to the strains of Agadoo, can there? But Jelly Kelly Chambers arrived at that moment, sadly still not the size 12 that she had hoped for.
Oh, Kelly, love.
He's not turned off, has he?
At least of your problems. Wait till you see your bridesmaid. Well, take the bride for another spin round the block, Tony.
Oh, no.
That's all she needs, poor love. Either way, Wendy.
Yes, Tina.
I wouldn't want to be a portender of doom, but on our way to church I did spot the bird I foresaw in her tea leaves.
Oh.
A single magpie. One for sorrow, they say, don't they?
Oh, right.
Just thought you should know.
Yes, everyone had done their bit that day. Even Sally Squires had sent a signed photo.
Who?
You know, the one who used to be famous.
Ah.
She couldn't be here, as today's a big day for her, too.
Really?
It was a big break at the Beebe.
Excuse me.
Oh, not her again.
Sally Squires, star of stage and screen.
Whatever. Got an appointment this time?
Yes. Here to see Benedict Plant, TV legend, about to star in a new vehicle of his.
Not that one about the so-called secret corridor at the Beebe.
Yes.
Where all the stars of yesteryear languish.
Yes. Look, woman, just buzz through this extension for me, will you?
No answer.
What?
I tried PA for you, shall I? Now, I've got someone who used to be a famous TV duck in reception. Yeah.
Oh.
Done a way out.
Blast. Forgot to ask what Benedict's room number was. Oh.
Hello, yes, reception. Oh, no, that's terrible news. Yes, of course, right away. I'll get on to paramedics, ambulances, everything, dear.
Typical. Now there's a ballet queue at reception. Excuse me. Excuse me. I'm a star, dear. You're not.
Oh, really?
Look, I was here first. Remember, you were dealing with me. Sixth floor, Benedict Plant's room. Ah, yes, here it is. At last. Little slug for Dutch courage. Sally Squires, star of stage and screen, hi. To see the lovely Benedict. I'm sorry, have I knocked on the right room or what?
Of course. You're his sort of old friend, aren't you?
Yes, we're here to discuss...
You see, it's all been a bit sudden.
What else? Look, Benedict's here, is he?
Oh, yes. Still in his office, yes, yes. Well, for now at least, anyway.
Jolly good. Just ringing my agent. Hillary. In his outer office now, the star has arrived, darling, for my first job in years. Yes.
Oh. And again, Tony, please.
Still no sign of him.
Well, he'll be on his way. He's probably just caught up in the traffic. That's all, Kelly, love.
Miss Squires, there's something I've got to tell you.
Oh, shoot. Good or bad?
Benedict Plant is dead.
What?
Moments ago, I've only just told reception.
What?
I just popped into his office with his cup of chamomile, as usual. But he'd already gone.
What are you talking about, woman?
Miss Squires, Benedict Plant is in his office. Lifeless.
No. No, he can't be.
He is.
And you've what? Have you had some sort of medical training?
I think I know a dead person when I see one, Miss Squire.
I don't hardly believe it. How could he do this to me?
Obviously, you're in shock.
I'll give him bally shock.
Then again, not meaning to be horrible, but he was no spring chicken. Not for nothing did they call him the Queen Mum of the Bee. Oh! About your age, was he?
Hmm. Look, would it be possible for you to slip out and fetch me a cup of coffee at all?
Of course. Terrible news, eh?
Yes. Poor, poor old Benedict. Hell and damn him. Why did the inconsiderate sod have to die now? Today? Why couldn't he have waited a bit? Oh! Benedict. He's still warm. He's still warm. Benedict, goddammit, come back. Don't do this to me.
Tina?
Sally?
Now listen very carefully. I'm in Benedict Plant's office at the Beeb.
Yes?
Or rather, it's the late Benedict Plant.
What?
On account of he's just this minute popped his clock. Would you believe it?
No.
Look, Tina, you're into all this sort of mumbo-jumbo guardian angels and talking to spirit guides sort of stuff, so I just thought on the spur of the moment as to were that perhaps you could help.
Well, I'll try.
Anyway, I mean, how many years have I waited for this showbiz break? And I'm not having it taken away from me lightly, okay? So, if Benedict's only just gone... I mean, where is he now? On the ceiling? In a tunnel? Heading towards the light? Is there any chance I can get him back into his body, Dean? Can you chant or something for him?
Well, I could probably... arrange a seance or something.
Oh, you're missing the point. I don't want to get in touch with him, Tina. I want that silly shark back.
Hang on a minute. It's Sally on the phone, Graham. Benedict's dead.
And?
Well, I think perhaps you're more the one she should talk to, since, like her, you're almost sort of in showbiz. I'm just passing you over to Graham.
What's the problem? The show can go on without him, can't it?
What?
I mean, so long as, this...
Benedict?
Put your contract through.
Absolutely.
He has put your contract through, has he?
How the heck did I know? Oh, Benedict!
So long as that's the case, Sal, then all is not lost.
Of course. Of course, you're right. Everything still could be hunky-dory. Oh, love to the bride.
And bridesmaid.
Perhaps catch up with you later on.
Sure.
Everything all right, is it, Tina?
I'm not quite sure, Wendy.
Right then. Contract. My contract. Where the hell are you? Oh, yes, what?
Miss Squires, what are you doing in Mr. Plant's office?
Just paying my last respects to dear Benedict.
Oh, I am sorry.
He didn't by any chance mention... You haven't got a copy of any paperwork connected to hiring me for the program by any chance, have you?
No. We were going to do all of that today.
What? You mean my contract hasn't gone through?
No.
Damn and blast him. Why couldn't the TV legend have lasted just a few blinking minutes more?
So you want an invitation to the memorial service, I take it?
What?
Everyone will be there.
What? Or do you mean everyone? You mean lots of famous faces? From the Bee?
Everyone. I mean, in television terms, dear Benedict was a legend.
Of course he was, yes. You mean I could be there as well and network like anything? I mean, and pay my heartfelt respects. Anyway, next thing I know, I've got myself down for a eulogy.
Oh, I didn't think you knew him that well.
As if that's going to stop me. I'll be in that pulpit for hours, Tina, believe me, giving the bloody performance of my life. Benedict tells me that much.
Smile for the birdie.
But enough about me, darlings. What's been going on here? Let me get this right. The groom did turn up after all.
Well,
Graham?
Oh, yes.
Then why is Kelly the bride? Why is she
crying?
Tina?
Well, of course, I'd already seen it all in a tea leaves. The man close at hand, not far away, as she thought, the binocular intel.
Well, fill me in.
Well, after Kelly had been round the block a few times, and still no sign of any handsome young bloke in the offing, Graham and Lee decided to have a quiet word with the only person there on the groom's side.
Mr. Neighbourhood Watch.
Excuse us, mate. Know how much longer we'll be, eh? The lucky man, like, do you? Who?
Which was when, to everyone's utter astonishment, Mr. Neighbourhood Watch then told Lee and me, in my nice frock, that in fact he wasn't the best man like we thought. In fact, he was the groom.
No.
I told you he was up to something, Wendy.
So the handsome groom
turned out to be as much a myth as the slim bride.
No.
Yes.
Of course, it caused uproar at the time, right?
Oh, what's her face?
Mrs. Enright.
Was playing the theme from Match of the Day this time, as down the aisle came the bride.
Just lucky in a way Clive was there.
Yes, I stepped forward at once. Well, the bride, as you can imagine, was somewhat gobsmacked.
But my fiancé is young, tanned and gorgeous. He's nothing like my Tyrone.
What had happened was, having lots of time on his hands, his wife Mavis having long ago done a runner, Mr. Neighbourhood Watcher got bored with spying on what he called Shea Bottomley, and thought perhaps writing to a nice lady pen pal would fill his empty hours. Kelly replies. He discovers at once she is young, and presumably wouldn't be interested in corresponding with someone like him, old and balding. So what does he do? He sends her a photo of himself when he was a good deal younger. So far, so good. Then when Kelly's photo arrives showing this gorgeous, slim girl, our friend here thinks he's hit the jackpot. Then a cloud crosses his mind.
What sort of cloud?
Wind. As Mr. Neighbourhood Watch, or Box 251, or whatever you want to call him, wondered perhaps, was she, you know, playing the same game as him? He knew by now where she worked, so he started popping into the motorway services.
I knew I'd seen him somewhere before class. He's the chocolate chip muffin man.
When he saw she was as fat as he was playing, he felt he was still in with a chance, right?
I've always liked women with a bit of meat on them.
As if someone young and now on the slim side like me had ever be interested in an old has-been like you.
That's right. You tell him, Kelly.
What Kelly hadn't realised was, of course, that by fobbing him off from seeing her till the actual ceremony, she was actually, unwittingly, helping Mr. Neighbourhood Watch's dastardly plan. He was banking on the fact that when he eventually showed up on the big day, that Kelly, not wishing to be humiliated in front of her friends, right, taken aback though she might be, would still say yes.
That chance! And to think, I've lost all that weight for him,
for that lying creep, that imposter.
The words pot, kettle and black did spring to mind.
Graham?
Yeah, I mean, you're almost quite a fit bird these days.
Thanks. You're not bad yourself, Lee.
So, if no actual wedding to take place, why are we all lined up here like grinning watches, having our photos taken?
Lee had the film and camera, and I thought it'd be nice to have one of my slimming club together as a group.
You don't think a sobbing bride spoils it at all? No, fine, okay. You're right, dear. It will be something to look back on once you've given up this slimming club lark.
Poor old Clive. You still don't understand, really, do you? This photograph of us all doesn't mark the end, just the beginning. I mean, I'll soon have lots more members than just this lot.
Oh, thanks, Wendy.
We've only been going a term.
What? And what's the matter with
you? Oh, you know, Sally.
What?
It's just the fact that everyone knows now that my son is gay.
Well, we all already knew that.
Is it?
It's absolutely fine, too.
Just a phase he's going through, most likely.
Still, Lee.
What, Graham?
At least one good thing has come out of today.
And how'd you figure that, Graham?
Remember I said before you'd robbed me of my chance of ever being a Blue Peter presenter?
Yeah.
Well, perhaps I was wrong.
How do you mean?
You see, I've suddenly realised, right, that all is not lost, Lee. Which is why, imaginary viewers, I am back in my imaginary Blue Peter studio, also known as my bedroom. Still looking forward to a sure busy sort of future. Oh, but first, to bring you smack up to date, Kelly didn't take Mr. Neighbourhood Watch up on his offer to go back to his place and see his collection of binoculars. No, Kelly, apparently, has a date with Lee now instead. As for me, I'm happier than I've been in ages. You see, not hearing from the BBC, the real BBC, that is, as yet, means I've not actually been turned down by Blue Peter. In which case, of course, I must still be in with a chance of being the first fat falsetto fairy ever to be a presenter on it.
In episode 5 of Fat Chance, Graham Pitscotty was played by Gareth Cork, Wendy Bottomley by Janine Davitsky, and Clive Bottomley by Michael Troughton. Sue Pitscotty was Anne Reed, Tina Tattersall, Julia Deakin, Sally Squires, Frances Jeter, Kelly Chambers, Tilly Gaunt, and Lee Dubbs, Harry Myers. Other parts were played by members of the cast. Fat Chance is written by Jenny McDade and directed by Sally Avens.